As we wrap up 2025, one thing's clear. Uncertainty isn't temporary. It's the world we live in now. Noble Gold Investments helps Americans protect what they've built with real gold and silver, holding value when everything else feels uncertain. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and take your first step toward a safe future. This holiday season, when you open up a qualified account, you'll receive 10 one-ounce commemorative silver holiday coins. Visit Noble Gold today.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This is Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
Okay, so I guess we can call this the midweek edition of Pucks in 7. And if we look back to it, Vic, essentially we're looking at 17 days now, 16 days, correct? So we're looking back to, I guess, the 9 before, and now we look ahead to, I'm just trying to incorporate a whole bunch of different days that we may have missed.
Seems like we're doing this arithmetic to start this off. We're looking at the week that was. Yeah. And we're looking at the week to come.
Vic's looking at me right now thinking, okay, add the one, carry the pardon, divide by three. It's not happening. Anyway, no. Pucks in 7, midweek edition. So much as I'm kind of good too if we do this midweek. I know we're a bit late doing this, but a lot happened on Monday and a lot happened on Tuesday. So we can add that to the podcast, which is great. Anyway, Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash, follow us on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton at Victoria Matiash and get us wherever you get your podcasts too. And just Google us and you will find us there. Coming up, lots to come. We end with the best thing, Vic's Fantasy in 7. Always great stuff with that. We will look ahead to the week to come. A lot of games, a little bit less because we're starting on the Wednesday rather than doing Monday and Tuesday, of course. Bring down the clink hammer. Oh, Vic, I'm fired up with this one. And I don't know if this is the third round that I'm going to bring down the clink hammer on a certain individual and organization, but people can just wait and listen and see if I do.
We can give a clue. We've shifted from Vancouver because we were really hard on Vancouver for the first few months of the season. We're now leaving Vancouver alone because they're making trades and they're doing what they need to do. And they finally fired their coach. But now, so we're shifting our focus and our clink hammer.
And I'm getting our what?
Our clink hammering.
Our clink hammering. It's too early. But I'm bringing down it on the same person I've done before. So that's my whole thing with this. So anyway, we'll see. Also, we begin with the week that was. We'll take a look at the West as well. McDavid, Patrick Kane. We'll talk about him. Boy, tough news for Jonathan Toews and the Seattle Kraken still hanging in, Vic. No clue why. Actually, I do have an idea why. But the fact is they're still doing it, which is great. But let's begin with the East. The deadline, what we are at. I'm going to say 9 days, 9 days, March 3rd coming up on the Friday. So if I do the math correctly, it's 9, 7, 8, 9 days, something like that.
It's 9 days, yeah.
And the Rangers made a splash, of course, a little while ago, acquiring Vlady Tarasenko. We'll talk about the Rangers in a second, but the Leafs, that was the big deal. And the fact that they got two other teams involved and getting the principal, Ryan O'Reilly, to Toronto, St. Louis involved, Minnesota involved, financially speaking, a great deal for Toronto. And based on what we saw, especially on Tuesday night for Toronto in their last game, it looks pretty good, at least to begin for the Maple Leafs.
I loved the trade when I first heard about it, and I got a notification from my editor at ESPN very late on Friday because we had to change our Saturday outlook because now Ryan O'Reilly and Noel Achari were members of the Toronto Maple Leafs, which is absolutely fine. I love this stuff. I actually live for this type of thing. It's what's so exciting about sports, you know, especially with player interactions, this kind of stuff. It really revs my engine. Anyway, and I was excited about the trade initially simply because of who the player Ryan O'Reilly is, former Conn Smythe winner. He knows how to win a Stanley Cup. He's one of the best two-way centers in the game. There's no question about that. He can contribute in so many different ways. He's a natural leader, but he's not a bully leader. He's not going to overtake that dressing room from John Tavares or from Morgan Riley. He's going to work with them.
And he doesn't want to, I think, right?
No, I don't think so either. No, I think he's thrilled to be here. Well, he has said over and over and over again, Clinton, Ontario boy. So he's just a couple of hours down the road. He's thrilled to be here. So I was already excited and I was just trying to figure out, well, are they going to play him third line center or are they going to play him somewhere, maybe shift him to left wing on the second line alongside Tavares, never even thinking that Sheldon Keefe might think about moving Tavares to the wing instead and, you know, letting Ryan O'Reilly keep his natural position at center, but in the top six as well. And so far, so good. So 4 points in his third game.
Of the hat trick.
That's right. And he looked fantastic. That line looks now with Mitch Marner, John Tavares, Ryan O'Reilly. It's a line you would come up in fantasy sports.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's a video game line now.
And you know what? If Toronto didn't have Matthews, Bunting, and Nylander, that would be their top line. That is a top line. O'Reilly, Tavares, and Mitch Marner. On most teams, if you don't have three guys that you would put it, that to me is a top line. That's a number one line.
Outside of maybe three other teams in the NHL, yes, I would say absolutely. 100%.
Right. And so for Sheldon, and so many times when you go to the deadline and when you want to win in hockey, what are you looking at? You look at that top line center. You also look at that top tier defenseman. You'd love to have a top tier goaltender. Those are the three biggies. But then you have the secondary ones, no pun intended, but you need the second line center. You need that second line. Sheldon Keefe, and I remember what he said, he was coming home from his son's hockey game, I think, when he got the call, he got the notice that O'Reilly was a member of the Leafs. And we'll get the more of the specifics in a second, but he said he was up all night because he's thinking, oh my goodness, so I can use him on this, I can use him with this, now that moves him to here. So it is a great deal for Toronto. And the fact that they, and give Kyle Dubas credit, he's a free agent as well, right? He's trying for a contract mm-hmm. for next season. Give him a ton of credit, and I would give any GM a ton of credit who pulled off this move, because St. Louis retained 50% of the salary. Minnesota grabbed 25%. So the Leafs do not have a lot going against the cap with Ryan O'Reilly.
No, they had to pick up Achari's deal. So
they did,
a little bit.
Yes.
But it's pocket change compared to what other players are making in the NHL, for sure. Financially, I know some people are going to complain about you gave up, you know, you're mortgaging your future.
Yeah.
Not really. It's
no.
One first round pick, and that's going to be a late one because we know the Leafs are going to make the playoffs. I suppose we don't know, but we suspect very strongly
we
the Leafs are going to make the playoffs. So this isn't a Bedard pick. This isn't even a top 8, top 15 pick. If the Leafs go as far as they should, this pick is going to be what, 29th, 30th, 31st, something in that realm. And so then you might as well just be giving away a second round pick if you look at it that way. And the rest of them were supporting as well. So
yeah. And as Kyle Dubas said, he hates doing that. He hates giving up those picks, but he's thinking, you know what? You never know what can happen. It could be a great turnout to be a great player, but we don't know. We're not going to give up our pool that we have in the organization already in order to do that. So anyway, gutsy move. I like it.
And, I love it. I think it's fantastic. And I loved it before last night as well, before Tuesday night. It's easier to love a trade when the player comes over and scores a hat trick. So we have to say on record, we were all over this on the weekend.
Yes. No, that is true. That is true. And a lot of the GMs too in the NHL thought, okay, they're serving notice that this team, it's not, you know, the whole thing about is the team's all in. This was a move to say, as John Tavares said after, he said, look, when the GM does this type of thing, you know that he's kind of giving us as many tools as we can. And it's that first round. Just get out of that first round.
Well, and that's my last thought on it.
Okay.
That was my primary thought on Saturday morning was the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Boston Bruins are going to hate this move. Mm-hmm. That was my number one thought.
Sure.
And that's
the
number one thought that the Leafs fans should appreciate.
Eastern Conference is they have a lot of great teams. The Rangers, forget about the last couple of losses, close games, but New York, legitimate cup contender? I think so.
Oh, I do.
Do you?
With who they have between the pipes, first of all, they have the reigning Vezina Trophy winner between the pipes. Yeah. Their defense is improving all the time. I really like what Keandre Miller is doing these days.
He is
evolving as a player all the time. And you have him with Adam Fox and Trouba. And Adam Fox isn't even playing that well right now. And he's going to smarten up as well. But the addition of Tarasenko up front, it's a game-changing move. I love the fact that they made it along with the O'Reilly move. I love the fact that there's a couple of GMs or just management teams out there in the NHL that are putting the other teams on notice. And you can just tell how much fun this team is having. And even during one of their losses recently, one of their tight losses, I was like, this team is having a good time. And now I would be super worried. I know Carolina is scary. I know New Jersey is scary. They're playing well also. But in the Metropolitan Division, I don't know if we're not focusing more and more on the team out of the Big Apple all the time.
I think it's probably a good thing for the Rangers. They don't mind that the Devils may have taken more of the headlines now. They don't mind that Carolina is. I always find this about good teams is that when you just maintain your play they went on a run before they lost those couple of games. I believe they went on a pretty decent run. So
they were surging.
Vegas,
yes, absolutely.
Vegas, Calgary, Vancouver, Seattle, Carolina, Vancouver, Edmonton. I know some teams in there, Vancouver twice, whatever. That's fine. A win's a win. But they knocked off Vegas 4-1. They took out the Kraken 6-3. They beat Edmonton 5-4 in that shootout. Oh my goodness, 5-4 in that shootout. Hey, Edmonton, how did you do in that game? Anyway, we can talk about that in a bit. But I'm with you with that. When you have Shesterkin doing what he's doing, I think the Rangers are legit. No doubt. I think
they won seven straight, and you don't win seven straight in this league by accident. So you can you can swallow, you can digest the odd loss, a couple losses here and there. I think the Rangers are going to be scary down the stretch. I don't know if they're going to be Carolina scary yet, but I think they're going to be right up there.
What about the Sens? How many years are we thinking about the Sens, Vic? Two, three, four. Depends upon if the other...
What a fun team. What a fun team that needs help on defense terribly badly. Yeah. I would even say between the pipes as well. But speaking of between the pipes, we do have to offer our congratulations. Kevin Mandelis. Congratulations, young man. He won first NHL game. It's always fun to see that. He won his first NHL game this past week. He lost the second one, but against the mighty, mighty Bruins. And he lost by a score of 3-1, I believe, which is extremely exceptional.
Yeah, pretty good.
By those stands. Oh, your second appearance in the NHL, you're playing the Bruins, and you don't get absolutely slaughtered. That's a victory in my mind. So we're going to see him back. I know that he was just recently demoted back to the AHL because Cam Talbot is healthy again, but we are going to see him back in the NHL, and good on him. He will have that memory of that first game. He will have for the rest of his life.
It was a fantastic game against the Islanders, and I remember it's one of those scenes you see in the stands. His mom and his family, they can't even watch, but yet they can watch, right? So not only that, some of the saves he made, and then he was in went to overtime, did that, and then in the shootout too. And it's a great story, it really is. And then he was sent down, and I know the Sens. One of the things with Ottawa is that I know they're trending in the right direction. And I thought the other day, I said on one of my shows, I didn't even say to what we do off the top of the show, but I'll do it in the second segment. Anyway, on one of the shows I was doing, I was saying that I kind of see Ottawa trending in the same way Detroit and Buffalo are. But I put Detroit and Buffalo a little bit ahead of Ottawa. So it's going to be a bit of time. But the injuries to Talbot, Forsberg, injuries. Where would the Sens be if they were healthy? Say that about every single team in the NHL, but I do like where they're going. And Timmy Stützle, how can you not love Tim Stützle, who coming off one of the top stars of the week? I mean,
he's just scores all the time.
Sky's the limit for the guy.
I love that. And the Stützle, Brady Tkachuk forward pairing up front on that top line, I just think is a beautiful thing. And I can watch those guys. That top six is actually in excellent shape. They need help on the blue line. And the organization keeps coming out and saying, well, we're looking to tweak. No. You
no
need
tweaking.
Some help on
yeah,
the
no,
blue
no, no.
line.
No.
You need one or two key pieces on the blue line. And then we can start having conversations about legitimately serving as a contender. And that division, that Atlantic division, Ryan, down the stretch, like the next few years, is going to be really, really tough. We're talking about Boston and Tampa Bay and Toronto are going to be perennial contenders. Well, when we talk about Florida, Detroit, Buffalo, and Ottawa, Montreal's not going to be horrible forever either.
No.
And yes, it swings and roundabouts in this league. For sure.
Intriguing. The race for the wild card is very tight. You have I'm going to put Ottawa in there as well with 58 points. Going into Wednesday, you have 58 points up to 65. So there's a lot of teams in between. We'll get to Pittsburgh in a second. But that's only 7 points separating seven teams in that wild card race. Who's to say that Detroit can't make it? Who's to say? I know it's a long shot, Ottawa. I get it. I understand that because every time you go to a talk like this, you think, well, it's one thing to get in, but you've got to make sure the 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in front of you, they start to lose. And that's not going to happen every single night. It's not going to happen. But at the same time, this is intriguing. Even though Ottawa's not been playing, you know, they're not up there at the top of the standings, this team is still in this thing, if you think about it, kind of. I know times are running out, but still, it's intriguing just to kind of see how this is going to go.
Anybody can go on a run. And we've seen it in the past. All of a sudden, somebody comes out of nowhere. The Buffalo Sabres go and they win 8 straight. Something like that is going to happen. And we are going to see something like that. What I think is even further indicative of how tight this is, just this week, Tyler Bertuzzi was going to get traded. He was on the trade block the last couple of weeks, last 2, 3, 4 weeks for sure. And now Detroit has come out and said, nope. That's the hint that we're hearing anyways, because Detroit went and won a bunch. They won a few in a row as well. They're playing competitive again.
They're close.
Tyler Bertuzzi is one of the reasons why he's scoring. Yeah. And now all of a sudden, even though he's pending a unrestricted free agent once the season is over, and really is a player that Detroit should move if they're not going to re-sign him right now. Now all of a sudden they're having a conversation. Yeah. You know what? We're going to keep him for a little while longer and see what we can make of this season. So that's very interesting.
Crazy how a week or 2 weeks can change, right?
The Isn't
mindset
it wild?
Of a team.
You win 3 in a row and all of a sudden we're back in it, kids. Jeez.
So the ones who are on the trade block, you can sleep for a bit until we lose three, and then you're going to have no sleep because we're going to be talking about you.
It
again.
Is like that. And what's so funny is Ryan O'Reilly came back for the St. Louis Blues because remember, he had a busted foot.
Yeah, yeah.
And they won three in a row, and I was like, oh, they're going to keep him now. St. Louis is contending again, and then they actually traded him, which is the smart move. We're not going to hammer on this anymore.
No, it was
a smart move. But I just thought, my goodness, St. Louis now fancies themselves back in this mix. And now they're not going to move him. But they did. But it was just funny. He came back and they won.
Couple of teams that we've been chatting about, Washington, Pittsburgh, the elder statesman teams, I guess, of the league. Pittsburgh, not in a good spot right now. The Capitals aren't either. We'll get to them in just a bit later on when we take a look to the week to come. But yeah, Pittsburgh not playing well. And when the captain knows it, everybody knows it. And here's Sidney Crosby recognizing the fact that they're not doing very well right now.
We got to find a way. Obviously, you know, we played pretty well in Long Island and then, you know, for at least the first half tonight. So, you know, hopefully we can, you know, build something from that.
Okay, so cool question to you. They've lost three going into Wednesday. We just talked about other teams kind of creeping up on them. Are they done? They have 20 plus to go, but are they done, do you think?
I'm not sure. Okay. I would have said, if you had come out and told me that Tristan Jarry was out for the next 6 weeks,
then
it's over.
Done. Okay.
They're not winning with Casey DeSmith. In fact, and this is not even an opinion anymore. We have empirical evidence they can't win with Casey DeSmith. Okay. And I'm not being mean. He just doesn't
have it
this year.
No, no.
He doesn't. He's had it in the past. He doesn't have it this year. And the team plays differently in front of him as well.
Yeah.
They need Tristan Jarry to be healthy. He came back. He's been back for one game. They need him to string together a few good performances. And I'm not entirely sure. But I am leaning in the direction of they're not going to be there by the time we get to April and we're looking at the playoff picture. I don't think so. Mostly because I just think, and everybody, I hate this argument, but Washington and Pittsburgh always make it. Well, one day they're not going to.
One day they're not going to.
They're not going to.
No.
So I don't know if are we there yet. I'm not entirely sure. Between the two of them, I'm going to tell you right now, they're both not making it. We're not going to see Washington and Pittsburgh.
Okay, hold on. So you're, okay, so one.
At least.
Or none. One or none.
Okay. One or none.
Okay.
For sure. Why? What do you think?
I think one or none as well. We're not seeing both. We're not seeing both. And then, you know what? It also has nothing to do with, too, the fact that, you know, Capitals have not been playing well and the Penguins have not been playing very well. I just even thought coming in, I thought that the two teams, the window's closing, they'd be on the cusp of making a wild card spot. I did not see them getting one of the three in the division. So that's where we're at this point. And you look at and then we'll hit the break. You look at the losses the Pittsburgh Penguins have had. They've dropped three straight going into Wednesday, but they've dropped four of five. And the only team they beat was San Jose, 3-1. They got thumped by LA 6-0. Then they lose three tough games against two very good teams, New York twice, the Isles, and then to the Devils. So if you want to have measuring sticks where you're at and you take on the Devils and you lose, even though it's close, same thing with the Isles. They're not in a good spot right now. So
and look who they have coming up. They've got Edmonton. They've got St. Louis.
Right.
That's probably 2 points. But then you have the Lightning, and then you have the Predators that are fighting for their playoff lives right now. So three of those four games are going to be tough. And if everybody isn't on the same page, I don't know quite what's wrong completely with Pittsburgh, even outside of the goaltending, but I think something isn't quite right there right now. And they need to start winning, and they need to start winning quickly, and I don't think they're going to.
And the last game before the deadline, it's Thursday, next Thursday, that's at Tampa. So they have Tampa a couple times, one coming up Sunday. It's going to be determining as to what they're going to do. Anyway, I think they know what they're going to do because they're not going to do. Anyway, who knows? Hextall, whatever. Do what you do and see what happens. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll focus in on the West. Patrick Kane. We'll talk about the Dallas Stars, the Kraken, McDavid, Edmonton. Is the safest lead a 3-0 lead? Not for Edmonton. Ryan Payton with Tori Mattiash, Pucks in 7. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks in 7 with Ryan Payton and Victoria Mattiash.
I am Victoria Mattiash, and he is indeed Ryan Payton, broadcaster extraordinaire on Sirius XM. Let's dress it up a little.
Keep going. This whole segment about me.
You host the Hot Stove, of course, on the NHL Network on Sirius XM. I pen write some things for ESPN.com, the hockey section in particular. Big focus on fantasy, some other things too. Also, do a little bit of news work in the city of Toronto at a major news station.
And you're the best at everything you do.
Thank you, Ryan.
Okay.
Now we're going to, so now that we've, well, what's the Tim Thomas? Now that we both pumped each other's tires, we can,
right.
We can move on from that.
Yeah,
oh, I know just... whose tires we need to pump. McDavid, how about that? So we said he was going to get 100 points sooner rather than later. I mean, we said everybody on the planet,
everybody in the world
can understand arithmetic and understood that Connor McDavid was going to hit the 100 point mark much earlier than people usually do. And I remember you and I had the discussion in December and we thought around Valentine's Day. We were going to remember we were going to set it before or after Valentine's Day. And both of us settled on, because we're incredibly richly intelligent people, both thought about Valentine's Day was about right, sounded right. And it was. He actually did hit the 100 point mark last week. So it was Valentine's week, I suppose. And I don't think he's able to celebrate that milestone as much as he would like, because honestly, his team is not playing very well. They are losing more often than they're winning, and they're putting themselves in a very precarious position in the Western Conference.
Yeah, they are. Quickly, McDavid averaging 1.81 points per game, highest in the NHL this season, no surprise.
So he's 58
games, so he's 24 to go, and he's 105 points. So 24, he's going to get 50, six goals away from 50. You and I chatted maybe next week or closer to kind of the end of the season. We'll talk about the whole MVP thing, because Pastrnak is lighting it up too in Boston. Anyway, yeah, you mentioned Edmonton. It's the 3-0 lead, where you think if you have a 3-0 lead, even 3-1, that you'd end up winning the hockey game. They've lost. Well, they lost to Detroit 5-4 in a shootout last Wednesday, and then they lose. They blow the lead against the Rangers. They lose 5-4 in another shootout. Then they blow another big lead against the Avalanche. They salvaged something yesterday against a lowly team like the Flyers, but you don't do that. And here's a great clip from Warren Fogel, who talked about, okay, it's one thing when you can put pucks in the net, but it's another thing when you can't hold on to the lead.
Frustrating, right? Like, we score enough goals and, you know, the mentality has to be to defend, and, you know, we're definitely capable of it. It's just having the right mindset. Like, we don't need to score more goals. We're up 3.
So I'll say this to you, that if Edmonton gets in, which, I don't know, I'm not going to say they're a slam dunk to get in to the postseason, but if they do, these are the games they look back and think going into the playoffs in round one, game one. If we're up 3-0, we can't play. There's that thing in sports, you play not to lose rather than you play to win. I'm not saying that's the reason why Edmonton loses these 3-0 leads, but Vic, if you're in the upper elite, you want to be considered that in the NHL, you can't do that. Maybe once, twice a year. But twice in a week or whatever it is that Edmonton
can't
do that.
It's a habit for them right now. And the fact that they've been able to salvage a single point from the shootout and the overtime losses, I mean, it is very fortunate for them. But then, just as you said, Ryan, once they get to the postseason, there's no single point anymore. You just lost the game. Like, you're down in the series now. And if this gets in their head too much, they need to fix this now. Never mind. Playoff, schmayoff. It doesn't matter if they get there or not. This is going to get into their head. And if they feel that no lead is safe that they hold, that's going to be very dangerous down the stretch and into the postseason. I'm going to tell you something right now. I mean, Warren Fogel is right. They can hold a lead. And I think he was calling out not only the team in general, but his defense, but
sure
the blue line.
Sure,
and they need one more body back there. I don't believe it's Erik Karlsson, even though he can put up points, but he is not the defensive defenseman that this team is desperate for right now. I'm not saying they don't take Erik Karlsson if the deal makes sense, just because he can. Now they're going to win every game 8-5, right?
Yeah.
But instead of that,
in the Gretzky years.
Oh, my goodness, Erik Karlsson and McDavid on a power play with Dreisaitl. Oh,
I know.
My goodness. But they don't need that. They need somebody who's going to help keep the puck out of their own zone and protect their netminder a little bit more and help in all those facets of the game. And I think they need somebody like that before the deadline. And I think they need one desperately.
In the last 10, they're 4-1-5. So they've only lost once in regulation, but it's the ones where you lose in the shootout, you lose in OT. They're 0-4 in the shootout this season. They're still in a good spot in the playoff race right now. They're fine with that. But at the same time, I don't know. They have a little bit of a ways to go. Patrick Kane, I still don't know why it's taken so long. I really don't. I'm not him. He has his own reasons as to why he's officially, I'm sure, given the Chicago Blackhawks the go-ahead to trade him. But this should have been done weeks ago, because Toronto was on his list. They're not trading for him anymore. The Rangers were on the list. He made it quite clear that he wasn't too happy with Tarasenko going there. And, oh, what about me? That's who I wanted. The more this goes on, find a place to put him. make a trade. And I thought about this too when the Leafs signed O'Reilly. That's another team that's off his list. So is he now kind of looking at not the scraps, but other teams that he may not have wanted to go as eagerly as before, but now he's got to find a place because Chicago needs to get rid of him. And the crazy thing is he's playing very good. Right now.
And the pool is definitely shrinking. I don't think we're talking scraps yet. There's still some good teams out there who could use Patrick Kane and who I'm sure he would enjoy playing for, especially contending for playoff success, right? But the pool is definitely shrinking. You're absolutely right. He is playing. He was explosive against Toronto over the weekend.
Yeah, he was.
It was rather nuts. And see how happy Max Domi is playing with him right now?
Are you kidding?
He's like, I want to trade out of here too.
One of the happiest guys in the league.
Look at how many assists I'm putting up right now. No, uh-huh. And Patrick Kane was again on fire the other night. And he's basically showing the entire league, the hip is fine. Look at how awesome I am. Look at what I can do for your team. And there's still going to be a trade made. I don't know if it's the Dallas Stars. I don't know if it's Carolina. I don't know if everybody's waiting to see what happens with Timo Meier first. I believe that probably has something to do with it. I don't know where you want to see him, but just for pure fascination, I want to see him in Vegas. I think that just without Mark Stone, that team is the same. Patrick Kane and Jack Eichel, I'd like to see what they're capable of doing together. I think that would be very interesting.
And that's the team that people are talking more of now, that the other two, the Rangers and the Leafs, are out of the picture with this.
Vegas is coming more to the forefront now.
Vegas is coming more to the forefront. That would be ridiculous. Yeah.
I think it'd be fun.
Good for him. And and I know that one of the reasons that people thought the Rangers balked at the deal to instead they went for Tarasenko was because of Kane's hip, and that GMs were thinking, well, the hip's not good. But you're going to love this one. But his hips don't lie, at least right now. Hey, listen, you'll see where I'm going. They don't lie because they've been moving well.
Do we have any Shakira to play? No. We should have planned that better.
That just came to me. Yeah. Anyway.
No, that's beautiful. And I just find it interesting I hope he isn't overperforming right now and pushing himself to make the point and then gets moved and all of a sudden.
Well, you know that he's doing extra right now. He is. Imagine. Actually, I don't want to think about that. I was just thinking if he gets traded, gets to a team, deadline's done, whatever. And then after he, you know, out a day, out a game, he's got some soreness.
I wouldn't be the first time. It is unfortunate. On the other side with Chicago, the other player that we thought was going to get traded this year, Jonathan Toews, now we realize he won't.
Yeah.
His long COVID symptoms are rearing their extremely ugly head. He does not feel right. Under the weather isn't cutting it. And I think everybody feels badly for Jonathan Toews. You don't want to see such a great player not earn another opportunity with a contending team, maybe. And even we're worried about his future now. This guy has been sick for some time off and on. He has battled illnesses for several years now. And COVID really smoked him. It's unfortunate. It's sad to see. And I don't really feel bad for professional athletes who have enjoyed a lot of success and won championships and made lots of money. But you still do. He's still a human being. And I feel bad for him right now.
And he's been dealing with the CIRS, chronic immune response syndrome, right? And so that's been, it's hard whenever this type of stuff happens with athletes. And if I was younger, I would think about this and think that they're immune to everything, right? Kind of when you grow up, you see your heroes, and I'm sure young kids are watching Toews for...
They're superheroes, right?
They are, and they're untouchable, they live like this, all this type, but it's not. And one of the Hawks, I forget who it was quoted as saying, you know, there's been flashes where he's been great this year. There's been just those moments, but most of it's been not. So health, Vic, you know, first and foremost, that's above everything else. But if you think about this now, Kane's going to be gone at some point. Toews more than likely, well, he may come back at some point. I don't know, but those two are not going to be with Chicago anymore. They've been around for a long time with the Hawks.
No, it's so end of an era for sure.
End of an era. Anyway, get better, Jonathan Toews. That's the most important thing. The Dallas Stars.
They could use Patrick Kane.
They could.
And they might. They're in contention for Patrick Kane.
Yeah, Dallas, Winnipeg, they've been 1-2 for weeks, right? Maybe months in that division. But this is what happens with teams, and Dallas is going through a bit of this right now. Sometimes you go in this bit of a funk, and that's what Dallas seems to be in. Three wins in the last 10. And again, Colorado, this is the thing with that Central, and also how good the Avalanche have been in the last number of years. And of course, they just won the Stanley Cup. A few weeks ago, I think they were 7, 8, 9 points maybe out of the top three in that division. And now they go into Wednesday only 5 points back. So they're hot on Winnipeg's heels. Dallas is feeling the pressure as well. But only 3 wins in 10, that's not going to cut it with what, a month or a month and a half, whatever is left to go.
They're earning a lot of loser points, which is helping them a little bit.
It is.
And
it
it's
is.
Keeping them afloat, but they're not scoring. Ryan, they're not scoring. I mean, there's only so much their goaltenders can do, whether it is Ottinger or Wedgwood gets an opportunity. There's only so much they can do if they're not putting the puck in the net. Now, every team, teams do go through this. Good teams do go through this. But we always talked about, even in the past, Dallas's lack of scoring depth. We all know what Robertson and Hintz and Pavelski can do. And this year, Jamie Benn has been, he's brought it back a little bit. And we've seen a little bit more from Tyler Seguin. There's been some other bit players that have, you know, contributed their part. But we're starting to not see that now. And now approaching the trade deadline, I think this timing is extremely fortuitous for Dallas's organization, because now they can see, hey, we're playing like this right now. We are not scoring. We're not going to enjoy any success in the postseason. It doesn't matter if we finish first in the Central or not. So now's the opportunity to maybe pick up a Patrick Kane. And Dallas is supposed to be in that mix as well. Somebody that can play alongside Tyler Seguin or Jamie Benn or whoever and bring that extra scoring depth.
I think he'd be a great fit. He'd be a great fit in Dallas.
He's one of it's one of the rumored destinations. So,
and you mentioned Seguin, you mentioned Ben, you got Pavelski on there as well, some veteran guys, right? So he's a veteran. He would fit in perfectly on that team. I know he'd fit in perfectly on a lot of different teams, but Dallas certainly would. And it's not like this team is bad. They're 30, 15, and 12. They're still first in that division, but they just have not had that kind of consistency
We've seen. They've looked different the last couple of weeks.
Sure. No, they have.
So post All-Star break, they just haven't looked the same. I think they're going to swing out of it. Good teams do, but it'll be interesting to see what the organization does between now and the deadline, because we're right up against it.
Funny, we mentioned too, Kane. They have Chicago Wednesday tonight, and then they have Vegas on Saturday. So just the cocaine kind of tie-in thing.
Oh, it's a perfect audition. It's a game to watch on Wednesday night for sure. Chicago, Patrick Kane is scoring on Wednesday night against the Dallas Stars. He is. He's going to score.
Do we say more than one?
No.
Come on. Let's do... No?
Okay. Goal and two assists. It's a three-point night for Patrick Kane. There you go.
Okay. The Seattle Kraken, Vic, they're still hanging in this race. Honestly, good on them.
Are they?
Oh, enough. Hold on. Yes, because the numbers don't lie. You know this. Stats don't lie. So the moment the team gets out of the playoff race, they're not hanging in the playoff race. But I remember a couple of weeks back, we were saying, okay, hold on. They're coming back down to earth. They had some injuries, all this type of stuff. The goaltending, Martin Jones and Grubauer, whatever. I don't know what it is about this team. It's not like the Matty Beniers is a stud, and he is going to be a future, if not right now, a star in the NHL. But it's not like they have all-stars on this team. That's not what it is. It's just a group of hardworking players that, even if they lose, they're in it for most of the time over the course of a game.
Is that what you like about them so much? Is that what you like about that they're like the lunch bucket crew and all that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Because you know what? I'm such a huge thing. And not like I don't like to watch a Pastrnak play in the top line of Boston or McDavid or the Leafs or insert, you know, superstars on this team here or these goalies. To me, it's just a bunch. Everyone on that team kind of is bought in the system with Dave Hakstol, and I just like the story. Even if it wasn't an expansion team, even if this wasn't their second year league, if they've been in the league a long time, but if they just kind of give that, as you said, lunchbox effort, I don't know. I'm a big fan of that.
Well,
in
you know, one
sport.
Of your best players is like Jordan Eberle and Jared McCann, and they're not the superstars that we talk about around the lunch table every day. So no, I understand that. But right now, Ryan, they are playing 500 hockey. They're playing 500 hockey right now, and that is not going to cut it. They have to start winning more than losing, or else they are going to be in trouble. That's just the reality. Sorry.
Oh, no. It's okay. And you know what? The next little bit, we'll get to the week to come in a bit. But yeah, they have a couple of
really big games coming
up.
They are still hanging in there. Unlike the team out in Vancouver, the Canucks are, I'm going to say, mercifully done.
Yes. Yes, please.
Is that fair?
Yeah, it's fair. Can we end it? Can we say that they're out of this thing?
Well, I think we can. And they traded Bo Horvat. So, I mean, that was a big statement move, sending him to the Islanders. No Matty Barzal for the rest of the season, which is just awful. I know it's a side note. We're talking about Vancouver. But my goodness, that hurts. Yeah. But they made the big trade, sending Horvat away. And I think that was the big, you know, waving the flag. We're done now. Who else? Now that we can concede that they're out of it, because I think we can. What other moves are they making before we're done, before next Friday, a week from Friday?
I've said and I've maintained, and I remember when you do too, when Gretzky was traded to the Kings in the late 80s, the whole thing was, well, if Gretzky can be traded, anybody can be traded. I think there's only two untouchables on this team now.
Can I guess? Can I guess?
Yeah. Yes. One.
Pettersson.
Two.
Hughes.
You see? You're right. Elias and Quinn. I'm on a first-name basis with them. Vic's on the last-name basis. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm keeping it professional.
Yeah. Pettersson and Hughes, they're untouchable. Thatcher Demko is getting his health back. I think when he is healthy, he's a pretty decent goaltender. But Luke Shen as well, he was kept out of the game the other night. He's going to be dealt. But they have to. I just think it's been a disaster from the offseason, and we've talked about Bruce Boudreau being let go, Patrick Galvin and Jim Rutherford, all this nonsense that's gone on. You got to get rid of the ones who you think will give you a return and do it now. Don't wait. And the fan base and the Vancouver fan base, it's kind of like a Band-Aid. It's a Band-Aid on Vancouver. Just rip it. Don't slowly kind of tear it off, because people know where this team is going. And it's sad, but a lot of teams go through this. But get it done, finish it up, trade whoever you need to do before the deadline, finish out the season, and start afresh in the offseason.
We know Luke Shen is gone. But we essentially suspect strongly that Luke Shen is gone. Yeah. It's going to still be very interesting to see what they do with Brock Besser, or what they don't do with Brock Besser, because he was one that we were talking about for months as being an appealing option to other teams, somebody who could use a fresh start somewhere else and all of that. And we just haven't heard much lately. And I think that might be one of the surprise deals in the couple of days leading up to the deadline. Right. That's right. All right. But Besser's going somewhere. That's something that we had talked about throughout the season. And I think that might be a pretty nifty move. But to wrap it up in Vancouver, we should offer a note, a word of congratulations to Artur Silovs, the goaltender. He's played two games in the NHL. He won his second, his first NHL victory. He won the other day. And so we congratulated Mandalese in our first segment. So we have to now congratulate Silovs. He's not going to be hanging around there much longer, because, as you just mentioned, Ryan, Thatcher Demko is coming back. And it sounds like he's fully fit and healthy again, or at least near to it, because Vancouver's not rushing him back if he's not, because there's absolutely zero point of that.
No, there's no point. What's the point? There's no point.
So congratulations, Arturs. You deserve it.
You see, what we do is we provide the negativity when needed, but we also throw in some positivity. So we're leaving on a good note with Vancouver. We'll probably get back at the negative stuff next week. Anyway, we'll take a break. Speaking of negative, the clink hammer. We're going to drop it next. We continue here on Pucks and Seven. Ryan Payne, Victoria Matiash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payton and Victoria Matiash.
This is Pucks and Seven. We continue. Ryan Payton, Victoria Matiash. Follow us on Twitter at Ryan and Payton, at Victoria Matiash. And you can listen to us wherever you get your podcast. Just Google us. You know, I've not actually mentioned all the different outlets that people can get us on, because since you put in my mind, just Google us, that's all I think. So I blame you. Just because
never listen to the Luddite.
I just wanted to blame you about something on
promoting something that involves technology of any sort.
Right.
Yes,
right.
We're on the Spotify's and the iHearts and the Sirius XM app. right?
SiriusXM app, Amazon.
That's how I listen to it.
Apple Podcasts, yeah, SiriusXM app. So yeah, I just, that was my inadvertently way to you to let's, I needed to do that again. So anyway, speaking of doing it again, this is one of the favorite segments that we have. Not just doing it, but we also know it's one of the favorites for you.
Time now to drop the clink hammer.
No, I love dropping the clink hammer. It's tons of fun. And it's our fans are, this is, I get more response on this segment by 10 to 1 compared to absolutely anything else. So we are dropping the clink hammer. This is in honor of Rob Klinkhammer, who played several years in the NHL, but also really played in a whole whack of other leagues, including over in the KHL as well. He had a very long and illustrious and successful career, and he is in no way associated with our segment. I don't think he knows we're even doing it. So we just have to say we're not representing Mr. Klinkhammer, so his lawyers don't need to call us. But this is in honor of him. So we're not dropping the hammer, we're dropping the clink hammer, in which we're Ryan likes to say kindly and softly criticize teams, managers, coaches. I don't think there's anything soft about it, because we can open up with, you want to drop the clink hammer first on people who don't enjoy the outdoor games.
Yeah, every time the NHL, first of all, the optics, and for Carolina to host the outdoor game, which they did, it was 2 years as well in the making, because they were going to do it in 21, but COVID put a halt to that, so they finally got their outdoor game. The optics were incredible. We had Steve Mayer on, who is the events guy for the NHL, on the weekend, and he was talking about the amount of work that is put into getting an outdoor game, number one, looking like an outdoor game, putting all the equipment in, a whole bunch of different things. And this guy goes through so much, and there's so many people. I forget the amount of people he said that were actually working on this thing, but it was an incredible amount. Anyway, putting that aside, anytime you get to play a game of hockey outdoors, I think you need to take advantage of that. And you don't have to play hockey when you're young. You don't have to be one of those girls, boys, you know, at 10 o'clock at night, you're playing on a pond, or you're with a friend, you're outdoors, you're freezing cold, but you just play till you can't see anymore. Then you go back inside. And then the next morning when the sun, you're right back on the ice. I understand people that see outdoor games now, they may feel a bit more connected to the outdoor game because that's what they used to do. But to see a sport like hockey outdoors, I don't care. These people that don't, tell me what you don't like about them. Tell me what you don't like about an outdoor game.
But it's people who don't like fun. It's just, by the way, the vein in your head is doing that little thing again.
Oh, it is? Okay, hold on. Let me just put a toque on. Just one sec. Okay, so I'm covering my head.
So,
there we go.
No, your vein is just,
how's this?
I can tell when you're getting worked up. It's people who complain about too much of a good thing because they're, I don't know if deep down they're worried that the oversaturation, that what they believe is oversaturation, is going to ruin it for them. Or I just think it's people who don't like fun. I think it's people who like to turn on their TV and see the same damn thing every single time.
Okay, blah,
without
blah, blah.
Anything new. They don't want the new sweaters. They don't want the horns. They don't want, remember the Carolina hurricane surge, how they would celebrate at the end of every win?
Yeah, storm surge.
The storm surge.
Yeah.
And people hated that. How? What is there to hate about a team having fun and celebrating? But it was different, Ryan. It's different. So these, I'm not even going to say old, because the cranksters are of all age, of all gender, come from all walks of life, and they just don't like fun things. And I don't think it's any more complicated than that. I love them. I've only been to one outdoor game.
Right.
I've heard from a lot of people who attended this one in Carolina in Raleigh, and they said it was a hoot with all the students there. It was a party atmosphere, watching the game with tens of thousands of people, tens and tens and tens and tens, instead of just tens and tens. So they had a great time. I think the whole thing was a great show. And watching it on my couch, I enjoyed it as well. I didn't need to be there.
It's not like they play 82 games a year. Every team plays outdoors. So suck it up, deal with it, be quiet, enjoy the outdoor. Even if you don't like, and you know what? I guarantee you this. I guarantee you. I'm going to say 95% of the people that don't like the outdoor game, they tuned in. Even if they tuned in for 5 minutes, they tuned in. So if those people tuned in to watch some of the game, if they can't stand the outdoor game, shame on them.
And
it's
if anybody,
game and it's fun.
Of course, it's fun.
As you said.
And if anybody who didn't thoroughly enjoy the little pup, Ripken, little black lab, dropping the puck to start the game, anybody who did not thoroughly enjoy that cannot speak to me for the rest of our lives on this planet because I don't want to talk to you. It was adorable. I mean, anything like that. So it's the happiest pup in the world. It was just lovely to see. The whole thing was just a lovely affair from beginning to end. Lovely win for the Hurricanes as well.
Oh, yeah.
And
there was
nothing wrong with it at all. More. Bring them on. I'd like to see once a month. I don't want one every week. I agree. First of all, the expense would be through the roof.
No, of
but
course it would. Right.
Once a month or you have four a season, I think that's perfectly fine. Lots of fun.
Steve, when we were talking to him last week, just a side note, he's thinking... And he actually asked us, he said, give me a list, some ideas of an obscure place that you would love to hold a game. You know what one of his ideas was? To hold a game, half of the rink in Canada, half of the rink in the U.S.
Oh, but honestly, the red tape you would need, I can just customs and everything.
Yeah, well, every time you cross the red line, you got to give your passport. So it would take forever.
Right? Yeah. That is very, very funny. Yeah, that's a very interesting idea, though.
Yeah, it is. But he was in it. He was like, yeah, let's, okay, Vancouver, Seattle. That's cool. I don't know. Anyway, that's that. Do you want to talk about the Flames?
No, but we should.
Yes, we do. Oh, I can't wait. You want to speak about
we
veins?
Should.
I'm going to put my head, look, where my hands are. My hands are on my head, covering my veins. Okay, so.
What a mess. But
go ahead, you started off.
I don't even know who we are. I mean, I do know who we are dropping the clinkhammer on, but we need to share, got to share the clinkhammer wealth here a little bit because I'm annoyed with I'm annoyed with the team because the team isn't playing the way the team should play.
Mm-mm.
But that's the lesser of all the issues. So Alan Walsh, and anybody who has Twitter and knows anything about any agents in the NHL knows who Alan Walsh is. He's an agent for several players, many of them prominent, including Jonathan Huberdeau. He's very vocal.
Likes
he's
to talk.
Candid.
Yep.
He does like to talk. He also likes to tweet. He's infamous for the famous tweet of when he had this, when he thought one of his clients is Marc-Andre Fleury. And Fleury, Walsh believed, was getting poor treatment when he was a member of the Vegas Golden Knights. And so there was the big sword through the back, the cartoon. I loved it. I thought it was great.
I did too.
Very entertaining. It's not that I don't find Alan Walsh entertaining. What I didn't like when he tweeted out, basically he was slamming the coach and nobody wants to play for Daryl Sutter. I am summarizing. He did not mention any names. There's just no fun. There's no fun with the Flames anymore. It's a mess, blah, 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 blah. What I didn't like about that to start was, I find it very entertaining and I like it when Alan Walsh tweets, but he's putting so much pressure on his client, Jonathan Huberdeau, because the next day, Jonathan Huberdeau has to show up at the rink, answer 1,000 questions from the press, from his teammates, from everybody within the organization. Well, why is your agent doing this? And he had to say over and over again, he's my agent. He's not me. I have no idea why he said that. That's not how I feel. And he had to say it over and over and over again. So my only issue with what Alan Walsh tweeted was the fact that he has to make it clear. I'm not representing Huberdeau, my client, at all here. This is my thought and my thought alone. So because it sounded like he was representing him. Everybody thought Hubie said something to Walsh and he wanted him to say something. And it turns out that sounds like it wasn't the case at all. So, but
no,
entertaining.
Yeah, so let's take it a step further. That's another just part of this Calgary Flames season, which is, I don't even know. Someone's going to write a book or a summary about this season, and I'd be not curious to read it, but I'd like to read it. Anyway, Daryl Sutter responded to this Alan Walsh thing in a media scrum, and here is what he had to say.
Daryl, I wanted to get your reaction to the tweet from Alan Walsh last night.
Tweet?
Said that players are being fun is being sucked out of the players here in Calgary.
So, and what would his relationship be to you or to the players?
He's the agent for Jonathan Huberdeau.
So it's not really players, is it?
So I'm assuming you're saying that it's irrelevant what an agent would tweet?
That would be the assumption. Social media and what anybody says doesn't affect locker room ever, right? When you got a tight group, that's you keep it tight.
Okay, ready? Vane is going to be kept rather tame if I can. Everyone who's heard the show before and they've heard this Klinkhammer segment, I've dropped it on Sutter, I think twice. I have. I've dropped it on Tortorella twice. Those two, they have to go, plain and simply, with all due respect to the coaching record, you got to go, time's up. At the end of that clip, Daryl Sutter said, that type of stuff does not affect the locker room ever. That's a bunch of BS. There is no way that stuff does not affect the locker room.
Of course, it's
ridiculous. And what is driving me absolutely crazy, it's honestly, Vic, it's getting to the point where I cannot listen to Daryl Sutter anymore. I can't listen to this. What do you mean? What are you talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. So no, I don't. It's tiring. It's so exhausting. And what's happened too in Calgary the last, what, couple of weeks? Dan Vladar busts his stick in practice. He's ticked off. They have some run-in. Sutter was having a run with whoever. It is dysfunction. It's dysfunctional. And Daryl Sutter needs to lose this stupid act that he is putting on. But the problem is, this is who he is. This is who he is.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think that
in hockey
he's,
In hockey.
I've only heard that he's quite a different character off the ice and away from the cameras.
Right.
But this whole tweet... As if he doesn't know what Twitter is. So, he's got kids, grandkids, nephews, nieces.
It's garbage.
I live on a farm and I don't know what a computer is nonsense. Of course he knows what Twitter is. He knows what a tweet is. I just can't stand the fact that he still thinks he needs to play a character. It drives me bananas. Just, I don't know. I know you're a cranky guy. All right, just be genuine though, but stop playing dumb. The playing dumb stuff is what gets me. But yeah. I don't know how much longer. People said that they can't fire Daryl Sutter. No? Why? Why can't they fire Daryl Sutter?
Yeah.
Why?
You can fire Daryl Sutter if you want to. You can. If Calgary was not close to a postseason spot right now, if they're not in the position that they're at still, I think he would have been gone. I don't know. There's something with Tree Living and Sutter. I think he needs to go. It's tiring. Every player, they may not say it during the season, but they certainly have talked about it. I think maybe when they're traveling together, different things like that. Like, this is a joke. Enough of our coach. He can be how he wants, but it's tiring. Enough's enough. Anyway, I'm totally fed up with him. That was actually pretty good. I kind of kept myself rather...
No, you were calmer than I was expected.
Because I lost it on the outdoor game already. So
only so much gas in the tank, eh?
There's only so much. I'm running out of steam. Last one. Jacob Chychrun. Is he just not going to play till March 3rd or after March 3rd?
He's on recess.
Come on. I mean, look, if I was at school and recess for 2.5 weeks, that's great. But this isn't school.
So he hasn't played. How many has he missed so far? 4 games? He's been sitting as a healthy scratch because he's theoretically going to get traded at any moment. I find it very interesting. At the very beginning, when Arizona first sat him for a game, I thought, that's smart. You know what? Yep. They do want to move him. And he's had injury concerns. He is recent as this season. He's had injury issues. So I get it. Protect your asset, a game, two. But I thought he was going to move, and he didn't move.
Yep.
And now he's sitting in the press box wearing a suit instead of, and he's one of the best players that Arizona has. So instead of playing on the ice, it must be driving him crazy. It would drive me crazy. Not knowing game to game whether you're going to play. First of all, I guess he realizes he's not going to play. He's never going to play with the Coyotes again unless he doesn't get moved.
Right.
But where day to day, where is he going to go? Are they talking to him continuously? How do you work out? How do you practice with the team? How do you stay up? I mean, if I was him, I'd be like, can I just go home and play video games for 2 weeks until you guys sort this out?
Honest to goodness. Yeah.
Seriously. It almost seems a game, 2 games, I understand that you want to protect your asset. But going beyond that, now I think you're just not torturing, that's too heavy of a word, but you're just not treating the player the way that they deserve to be treated at this point.
No, you're not. So Feb 10 was the last game, and it was a game against Chicago. He's missed the one against St. Louis, Nashville, Tampa, LA, I'm counting on my hand, Columbus. They have Calgary coming up tonight. Then they have Nashville and Chicago beginning of next week, and the final game before the deadline is next Wednesday. So
He's sat out six so far?
So,
my goodness, I thought it was 4.
So let's just say that he sits out even more. That could be 1, 2, 3. That could be 5 more games, and that would be No, four. That would be, so that could be 10. That could be 10.
Well, they can't bring him back now. This is in for a penny, in for a pound at this point, right? Yeah. Like, he's going to sit out until he gets moved or he does not get moved. I mean, there's only two options. There's two routes right now.
And he's going to be moved. And how many times have we seen guys sitting out? And forget about it sitting out in this respect, because this is different. But guys who sit out and they say, oh, you know, got to get back into game shape. It's one thing to practice, one thing to this. And then they push themselves and they may tweak something. I don't want this to happen, but I can absolutely see this happening. But is this kind of the new norm? Is this going to be the new norm in the NHL? If you know you're going to trade someone 3 weeks before the deadline, you're not playing
but
at
this
all?
Is new. I don't remember this ever happening before.
And
he was the first domino to fall. And then Columbus went, well, you know what? Gavrikov, you can have a seat over there because we want to move you too. Luke Shen isn't playing anymore. So now these other teams are like, oh, we're allowed to do this? We can do this? We can just sit a player who's perfectly healthy? But you can. You can healthy scratch whoever you want.
You can.
Send them down to the AHL, but you can healthy scratch whoever you want. So it's well within the rules, but I just find it a very interesting approach. And so we're going to see how it all turns out. I wonder if there's still just Arizona is asking for a king's ransom for Chychrun right now to see if they can get it, because teams do want him. And he is, I mean, Erik Karlsson is a completely different type of player, but those two are the cream of the tradable blue line crop right now.
Agreed.
So, and I think gets closer to the deadline, they're going to take what they can get for him because they have to move him now.
No, they have to. No, and that's what they're doing. They're waiting to get the best offer possible. And if it goes all the way till the last minute before that deadline, I hope it works out for both. I do. I hope it works out for Chychrun, that he's healthy and he goes on to have a good long playoff run. And for Arizona, they get a good haul back. We shall
see.
But
what do they need? You know what? This last, my last bit, Ryan.
Yeah.
How many picks and prospects? Arizona has so many picks and prospects. They've been doing this for years. At some point in time, you have to actually move some of those assets that are not human beings to get a player in return who's going to help your hockey team win games. Don't you? Anyway.
You do. And you hope that player doesn't have an expiring contract, because more than likely they will not re-sign. I wouldn't want to re-sign in Arizona.
It's a nice place to live.
And nice cozy atmosphere in the arena too. About what, three,
for 35, five
yeah. Anyway, I admire you, ASU. I really do. Okay. That was good. That was intense. We will step aside. We'll come back. We'll look ahead to the week to come, starting Wednesday, and finish off with Vic's Fantasy 7. Pucks and Seven, Ryan Payne, Victoria Maniash. We'll be back.
Welcome back to Pucks and Seven with Ryan Payne and Victoria Maniash.
Into the final segment of the program for today. And I took a deep breath, so I feel much better after that dropping of the clink hammer. So, yeah, well, I kind of want to get back into that thing and do it again, but I'll hold off till next week. Anyway.
Well, the shot of scotch we both had also, right, just to bring us back down to level.
What are you? No, I can't hear. No, you're breaking up. Vic's Fantasy 7, we'll end the show in a second. First off, though, so this is when we look ahead to the week to come, and we're starting Wednesday. What we're going to do, though, Vic, is we're going to take a look at two teams specifically to begin this. Then we'll get into specific days and nights and games to come. But the Flames and the Preds. We've talked about Calgary. This is a big stretch of games for the Calgary Flames.
It is. They no longer have the luxury of losing one goal games to teams that they need to beat. No. They are still, miraculously, still in the playoff picture, which everything we just went through with Sutter and the team.
I don't get it.
Somehow, mathematically, they are. And they actually still have a good hockey team. So you bring those two factors together. If they can beat, starting on Wednesday, they face Arizona. They're in Mullet Arena in Arizona on Wednesday for the one and only time. No, that's not true. But it's their first visit this season. They have Arizona, they have the Golden Knights, and they have Colorado. And you need 4 of 6 points for sure. And Colorado, that's not going to be easy.
No,
Vegas,
it's not.
That's not going to be easy. So you have to start by winning 2 points in Arizona on Wednesday, and then try and do your best to make the most of the rest of the week. Because you know what? You lost to Philadelphia earlier this week, and that was supposed to be must win. So you got to bring it together now, and you got to start scoring.
The Preds as well. You want to talk about must win. So they're tracking Calgary. And Nashville's been that team. Look, they have two games in hand, and I think two games in hand are important down the stretch, whatever, whenever they make them up. But this is Vancouver, San Jose, and Arizona. I'm telling you, if Nashville wants any chance of still being there in the discussion within 2, 3, 4 weeks from now, you need 6 points. I'm sorry, you need these 6 points. These are beatable teams. You need them all, and you need to make sure that you're able to get together. You know, they're minus 10. They've scored 157, given up 167.
I don't understand them. I watch them. I actually like to pay attention to the Predators. It's a team that I've followed for many, many years now. I've always had a soft spot for them. I don't understand what's going on there.
No.
They have enough. I know they're not ever going to be that explosive scoring team. That's not the way that they're built, and it's not the way that they're coached. And I respect that. And when you have the defense that they have, that's a luxury you get to enjoy.
Fair enough. But
you have to score more than they're scoring right now.
You got to score.
You have to score more than you're scoring right now. So, and they do have the talent up front to do it. They do. The way that they're handling Tanner Jeannot this year, I don't get it. Yeah. I don't understand that team. I don't understand it, but I'm with you. I'm not going to say 6 points out of six, but they need five.
You need six.
They can lose one in overtime.
Okay, so you're saying you just lose one. You give them a mulligan, but five. Okay, so at least five out of six then. At least five out of six. You have to get six.
Against that competition?
Yeah.
They do, yes.
Okay. Patrick King, we talked about him. He's still in Chicago, and he's been playing well. So Wednesday, Hawks and Stars. And what, you said that Kane's going to get one goal tonight. I'm pretty sure you said that.
I said 3 points, one goal.
Okay. All right.
We're going to see how that goes. Well, he's auditioning. He's auditioning. I know he is. In a city for a team that he would not mind playing for.
Right.
And by the way, the Blackhawks are hot. This is the luxury that a team that is well out of it gets to have and enjoys around this time during the season, usually, that they're playing for nothing. They're playing for nothing. They don't care. And so they're beating teams. I think they've won three of their past four or four of their past five, something ridiculous like that. Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen because the Stars are struggling. So it's going to be very interesting to see this. It's so funny. All the pressure in the world in this game on Wednesday night is on the team that is leading their division.
Right.
As opposed to the team that is going
Which makes no sense. Right.
But it's hilarious, right? But the Stars need to win this game. And Chicago doesn't care, and why should they?
No.
So and Max Domi and Kane are having fun. That's all I know.
And the whole Bedard Bowl thing, that the more this goes on through till the end, Anaheim going into Wednesday, 41 points, Columbus 41, and Chicago 43. I know that that doesn't mean you're going to get the top pick, the last team. We all know that with the draft lottery, all that type of stuff. But Chicago's playing better. They're playing better. I mean, Anaheim's just a disaster. They've lost six in a row. But anyway, that's a topic for a different day. What about Thursday? What are we looking at for Thursday?
We got the Bruins and Kraken. That's just fun. The Kraken, you know, infamous or famous, I should say, this season for dealing and dishing out the Bruins' first loss at home. Remember, they were on that streak and the Kraken ruined it. Well, ruined it for the Bruins, didn't ruin it for the rest of the league. That one's going to be a fun one. But all my eyes are going to be focused on, we just mentioned the Anaheim Ducks. Why are you watching a Ducks game? Well, because they are visiting the Capitals. As we spoke of earlier, just like the Penguins, the Capitals are in trouble. They are in trouble. I actually introduced one of my pieces in ESPN recently with the Capitals are in trouble. That was my opening line.
That was the opening line?
Yep, because they are. They're in tons of trouble. You can just ask, without Alex Ovechkin, first of all, they've lost five straight.
Yep.
And they've lost four without their captain while he attends to a personal matter that he has every right to attend to. And
sure
Coach Peter Laviolette spoke about this recently.
Listen, those are big skates, big shoes to fill. And, you know, we're going to have to, every guy's going to have to chip in and do a little bit more. And there's no question that, you know, we would love to have Alex here. He's an important piece to our team and an important piece to the success. But, you know, we got to push on, and we got to win games for our organization, for to move up the standings, and we got to win for Alex, who's not here. And so I think the guys know that.
It's tough. Number one, to see Alex Ovechkin going through what he's going through, because that's the most important thing in all this. And when we spoke already, we talked about Sidney Crosby. We heard from Sidney Crosby earlier on in the podcast about where the Penguins are at as well. This team, I'm going to say that out of the two, and you said that one of the two is going to make it, not two. One of the two is going to make it.
At most. I think they both might not.
Yeah. So I'm going to
say most one.
I'm going to say it will be the Penguins. If out of the two, it'll be the Penguins. The last game the Capitals had against Detroit. So they lost to Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. It was on Tuesday. So they lost the fifth in a row against Detroit. They only played for one period. Just want to say these stats because this is telling of a team that can't put a full 60 together. In one period, they out-attempted Detroit 30-8. Make of that what you will. Out-attempted 30-8. That's a big gap. They outscored them and outchanced them 15-4. And the high danger chances, like the high danger shots, right? Those are big. They had them 5-1 in the third. But it was in the third. And I mean, good on Detroit for holding that lead. But this team is struggling. And it's hard to see, but the window has been closing, and I dare say, Vic, even if they kind of get a little bit back on track, I think the window's done.
They're struggling as it is. I'm increasingly disappointed, though, in what Peter Laviolette alluded to. Your captain, your best player, the heart and soul of your team, whether you're a Ovechkin fan or not, he is all of those things.
He is.
He's gone to attend to a family matter, a very sad one. Many of us have been there. It sucks. And your team can't win a couple for you, because you often see that happen. You rally around.
It's emotion. Yeah.
And you put your best skate forward and you grab a couple, maybe wins that you wouldn't have even expected to get. And they're doing exactly the opposite. And now he has to feel some pressure, even when he's mourning the loss of his dad.
Of course.
We still want to make the playoffs. He's such a fierce competitor and he can't take this break. I'm just disappointed in the organization as a whole, but this is a make or break week for them. And it is starting on Thursday. Well, I mean, it's already underway, but they need to beat Anaheim. Anaheim, as you mentioned earlier, Ryan, one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the league.
You have to.
That is 2 points that you need for sure.
Kings Islanders on Friday, New York, give them credit. They've been slowly kind of maintaining, creeping up in that wild card spot going into Wednesday. They're 1 point up on the Panthers. They have 65 points to the New York Islanders. And the Kings, to me, they're kind of like the Kraken, because they're just hanging around. Nobody really talks about them. I'll be honest, I don't talk much about them. And it's funny, when I do the show on the weekend, Dennis Bernstein is from LA, and we don't really talk much about the Kings. We really don't. If there's a couple of things I need to ask him, then he goes off on 5 minutes, which is fine.
Yes.
But they just, maybe 10 or 15.
Yes.
But they just seem to be one of those teams that is still there. They're just, and I talked about plus minus. They're a plus two. They're only a plus two. What other team in the top three in any division is not like plus 10, 15, 20, whatever it is? So they're finding ways to win, but for the New York Islanders, for me, this is a bigger game for them. A lot of these 2 points they need, certainly.
And as I mentioned earlier, no Matthew, no Matt Barzal.
Yeah, yeah.
For an indefinite period of time.
Yeah.
That's a horrible string of words to have together.
No, it's terrible.
They're even saying maybe he'll be back before the end of the season.
Ugh.
Oh, boy. And it sucks, man. They just got Horvat and they just became contenders again. And here's one of their best players gone indefinitely. It is unfortunate. So they're really going to have to batten down the hatches and play Islanders hockey where they just don't allow the opposition to score much at all.
Saturday, Stars Knights and Flames Avs. Kadri's already faced his old team before, and that was in Calgary, so not in Colorado. That was pretty early on as well. I think it was almost right out of the gate, something like that.
It was early, yeah. Good.
Yeah, and anytime you talk about somebody going back, I know we didn't spend a ton of time in Colorado. Not extensive amount of years, but he made an impact. He had a great season last year. You knew he was going to leave. It was a contract year. He was that second line center in Colorado. They've never replaced him. They never have. I don't think anybody ever will. It's tough to get a second line center, but I know that there's going to be a nice moment for him. He's going to enjoy it. And I certainly know the fans are going to appreciate it.
They will. And then the Flames have to win the hockey game. We talked about that earlier. Yeah.
Putting
then
all that
his team
fun stuff aside.
Has to win the hockey game. No, he wasn't there for long, but talk about quality over quantity. I mean, it was a short stay in Colorado, but you came away with the Stanley Cup ring. So, you know, we'll call that a successful stint.
Yes.
So perhaps, I think maybe it even might get the juices flowing for him. And by the way, I don't think Nazem Kadri is the reason that the Calgary Flames are not winning hockey games right now. But
no.
It could give him a little bit of a surge and something that he can spread to his teammates. And I think that would be a big win for him. You always talk about that bulletin board material and all that nonsense. I think the rest of the Flames will want to win in Colorado for Kadri in particular. And I think that might
agreed.
Be a little extra edge that they enjoy.
Agreed. Stars Knights, do we need to just quickly about that? I mean, Vegas is playing well, but this is another big one for Dallas.
It's another big one for Dallas.
About Dallas.
If they want to stave off Colorado and Winnipeg in the Central Division,
they
need
win.
To win.
Yep. Sunday, just a quick wrap, and it's nice to wrap. Well, not nice, but we're talking about the Capitals. So where's Washington going to be by the time Sunday rolls around? Where are the Penguins going to be by the time Sunday rolls around? Also, too, the Buffalo Sabres, if you look at where they're at, they've 5-10. So I'm not going to say that the bubble is bursting, but they're kind of coming back down to earth in a way. I've been a huge fan of them. I've been wanting this team to take a huge step. I think they've taken some steps this season, but they're kind of falling back in that wild
goaltending and defense. Goaltending and defense. They have it up front. They still need to mature on the back end. If you look like at the combined age of their top pair, their two best defensemen in any case, it's like 22 years old when you look at Rasmus and Owen Power. So they're gonna get better on the back end, and they do need some help in net. Nothing against Anderson and Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, but they're just not. They need some help back there. So, and I think that was very indicative when we watched what the Leafs did to them on Tuesday.
Yeah. Fantasy 7.
All right.
What do you have?
We're going to do it really quickly. Jake DeBrusk is back for the Boston Bruins, everybody, and he's already scoring. So make sure Jake DeBrusk is back in your lineup, because he isn't in a lot of lineups in ESPN.com leagues. Robbie Fabbri has figured out how to score again for Detroit. Actually, you know what? Robbie Fabbri has always known how to score. He's managed to stay healthy for more than 2 minutes. So I'm enjoying what Robbie Fabbri, super talented kid. He's not even a kid anymore, but super talented player, and he's having a lot of fun with Detroit, scoring lots of goals. For you, Ryan, for your Kraken guy, Jordan Eberle.
Yep.
Jordan Eberle is scoring right now. You want to stream him. You want to play him daily fantasy. Dawson Mercer's having a good time with New Jersey right now as well. Same thing. He's going to be a good future player for many years, and he's already showing. He did last year as well. Little bits and pieces of what he's able to do. We mentioned earlier, Ryan, Max Domi is having the time of his life playing with Patrick Kane right now.
He's smiling lots. He's saying, hey, if Kane's going, do you want to take me with him?
Oh, what a dream. But even now, he's putting up points like crazy, and he is available in 90% of ESPN.com fantasy leagues, which is ridiculous. The Panthers are going to get Anthony Duclair back any minute now. Get him into your lineup as well. Big. That's going to be huge.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I still don't understand why Jeremy Swayman is overwhelmingly available.
You have Swayman on a lot of these, and you say the same thing. How is he still available?
He's like sharing starts with Omar in Boston. They're winning games. His numbers are outstanding. I understand he's not a number one netminder, but there are a lot of fantasy managers who do not have number one netminders on their teams who stink. So I have no idea why they're not playing Jeremy Swayman instead. So, I mean, especially in deeper leagues, in any deeper league, he needs to be accounted for. All he's doing is starting games and winning them. And I think that's what you want. So
he's playing well. 20 games started, 13 wins and 4 regulation losses. So all the guy does is win. It's funny. You get so for those that aren't seeing this, obviously nobody is, but Vic put the hand head in the hand about the Swayman, and you've done that too every time we talk about.
I'm exasperated.
How come he is not being picked up? Anyway, win's a win. No matter how you get it. All right, a lot of fun. We're going to get back at it next week. And so we're what, five days away or four? Yeah, 5 days away or something from the next edition. And that'll lead into, of course, the deadline, which is next Friday. And then the following Monday, so 2 Mondays from now, we'll recap, of course, the deadline. Going to be a lot of fun with that one. Thanks for listening, folks. Appreciate it. Follow us again on Twitter at Ryan M. Payton. See, there's that 75 again. And at Victoria Matiash. Get us wherever you get your podcasts. Google us. And we're also on the SiriusXM app. On behalf of Victoria, thanks for listening. We'll talk next week.
This has been Pucks in 7, available on the SiriusXM app and wherever you get your podcasts.